بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet and the believers of his family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah, we resume the explanation, verse 119. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَا تُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. Verily we have sent you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, with the truth, a bringer of glad tidings and a warner for those who disbelieve. And you will not be asked about the dwellers of the blazing fire. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, verily, inna arsalnaka, arsalnaka bilhaqqi bashiran wa nadhiran. We have sent you. But Allah didn't say to whom. You see that? Verily we have sent you, O Muhammad, with the truth, which is Islam. But here, حُذِفَ الْمُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ, the one to whom he was sent was omitted, not mentioned. Why? Because there is a benefit from this. لِإِفَادَةِ الْعُمُومِ, in order to inform that he was sent for all. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, مُرْسَلٌ إِلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, is sent to all mankind and jinn, and with respect to the other messengers, each one of them was sent in particular to his own nation. بالحق, we have sent you with the truth. It means we have sent you carrying this message of the truth. And the second meaning is, إِنَّ إِرْسَالَكَ حَقٌّ, your sending is the truth. So, مَا أُرْسِلْتَ بِهِ حَقٌّ, that which you have been sent with is the truth. And both meanings are correct. فَالرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ رِسَالَتُهُ حَقٌّ, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, his message is the truth. And what he was sent with is also the truth. And what is the meaning of al-haq? What is the meaning of the truth? Al-haq huwa thabit al-mustaqir. The truth is whatever is affirmed. And it is against falsehood. And thus the truth with respect to the news is the truth, and with respect to the rulings is the justice. And we explained this in the previous verses. Bashira, we have sent you, O Muhammad, with the truth. Bashiran wa nadhira, a bringer of glad tidings. Glad tidings. This is the meaning of bishara. Glad tidings. It could mean informer of bad news as well. In some circumstances, it could be also used in that respect. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran in chapter 3, 21. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, and inform them of a severe torment. So bashiran wa nadhira, and an-nadhara, warning. And it means informing of something disliked or something which is fearful and frightening. And there is no doubt that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a bringer of glad tidings concerning the Jannah, paradise. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the dwellers of Al-Jannah. And he is also a warner of what is dreadful and frightening, and that is the fire. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from hell. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined in him mubashiran wa nadira, a bringer of glad tidings and a warner. So it carries the bushra, the good news, and the warning, and the command and the prohibition. And thus the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a bringer of glad tidings to the pious who do righteous deeds, that there will be for them a great reward, and a warner to the kafirs that they shall blaze in hell. Listen to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa in chapter 4 verse 56. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما. Surely those who disbelieved in our ayat, proofs, evidences, lessons, we shall burn them in fire. As often as their skins are roasted through, we shall change them for other skins that they may taste the punishment. Truly Allah is ever most powerful, all wise. Then Allah ended the statement by saying, وَلَا تُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. And O Muhammad, you are not going to be asked about the dwellers of the fire of hell. And this could mean, you are not going to be asked about the dwellers of the blazing fire, meaning Allah will not ask you about them. Why? Because you, لِأَنَّكَ بَلَّغْتِ, you gave, you informed, you propagated the message, and the reckoning is for Allah. And in accordance with another recitation, because we have two qira'at in this verse, two recitations, it would mean, don't ask concerning the dwellers of the fire of hell as to the punishment they are suffering therein, because they are in a situation which cannot be comprehended by anyone. And this is the utmost type of warning for those who belie and oppose the message that they will be from the dwellers of the fire of hell. So there is here an alarming and frightening threat . And these two recitations are from the seven recitations. And Al-Jahim is the fire of hell, and it has many names in Arabic. An-Nar, the fire, and As-Sa'ir, and Jahannam, and Jahim, because of its different descriptions. Otherwise, it is the same. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fire of hell. The benefits. Number one, the response to those who said, لَوْلَا يُكَلِّمُنَ اللَّهِ, why Allah doesn't speak to us? Why? Because Allah responds here by saying, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ, we have sent you with the truth. The second is affirming the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah said, "Inna arsalnaka," we sent you. The third benefit, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a true messenger and a truthful one, and he is not a lord, walaysa birabb, because the messenger cannot take the place of the one who sent him. And the fourth benefit, that his message comprises al-amr wal-nahi, commanding and forbidding, and glad tidings and warning. And the hikmah behind this is apparent, the wisdom behind this is apparent, because man, it may be easy for man to carry on the commands, to execute the commands. However, it may be difficult for him to abandon the prohibited matters, the prohibitions. Or the opposite is true. And therefore, had the Sharia, the laws, been all commands, then the test, the trial of man regarding keeping away from unlawful things would not be clear. And had the Sharia also been all prohibitions, then the testing of man to carry on the commands would not be apparent. And therefore the testing came in both the commands and the prohibitions to be the utmost wisdom. Take for example, a Shaykh al-Kabir, the old man, it's easy for him to abandon zina, adultery, and also in this respect fornication. Why? Old man. And therefore the punishment on the old man if he commits it is more severe upon him compared to the young man. This proves that the testing cannot be manifested and take place except by diversifying the responsibilities, making the responsibilities diverse. Zina, you know, adultery. For example, illegal sexual intercourse. For example, Salah, prayers, is a physical responsibility. Zakah is exerting what is beloved from wealth, what's coveted by people. Fasting is relinquishing what is desired from food, from drinks, from legal sexual intercourse. Hajj, pilgrimage, is a physical responsibility as well as financial. You see the diversity now in the Sharia. The fifth point of benefit, that the duty of the messengers is the proclamation, and therefore they are not to be legally responsible concerning the actions of people. That's why Allah said, وَلَا تُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. You are not going to be asked concerning the dwellers of the fire of hell. And in the other recitation, وَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ, and don't ask concerning the punishment that these dwellers of the fire of hell are going through. Then we come to the next verse. And before that, let me add one more or some more benefits to this, inshallah. From this we learn that it is a must to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is the Messenger of Allah, and because what he brought from Allah is the truth, and what opposes the truth is falsehood. So therefore, whoever opposes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on falsehood. Add to that this falsehood could be comprehensive, covering all of his deeds, like the kafir, for example, the one who refuses the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And falsehood could also take place partially, like a Muslim doing disobedient acts. In this sense, the disobedience is falsehood, and the truth that the Muslim carries is truth. So he is mixing falsehood and truth. And from this is the benefit, incitement to do that which is good and that which would be a glad tiding for the believer, and it means the righteous deeds. So whoever does righteous in this life, then he will receive the glad tidings in this life and in the hereafter. In this life, because Allah led him to this success, gave him the success to do this righteous deed. And in this there is evidence that Allah made it easy for him to do it. And therefore he can be given the glad tidings and he may be pleased. And that's why it came in the hadith, مَنْ صَرَّتْهُ حَسَنَتُهُ وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَتُهُ فَذَلِكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Whoever is pleased with his good deed, and whoever is displeased with his bad deed, then this is the believer. So therefore, if you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you the guidance of success to do righteous deeds, then فَأَبْشَرْ بِالْخَيْرِ, then expect the glad tidings of good. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ عُلِمَ مَنْزِلُهَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ. No one amongst you except that his place in paradise or in hell is known. None of you but has his place assigned, either in the fire or in paradise. قالوا يا رسول الله فلم العمل. Thereupon they said, the companions, they said, O Allah's Messenger, why should we carry on doing good deeds? أفلا نتكل, shall we depend, meaning only upon the pre-decree, and give up work? قال لا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no. But carry on doing good deeds. قال لا اعمل فكل ميسر لما خلق له. No, but carry on doing good deeds, for everyone will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to that for which he has been created. Then he, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, then he recited the following verses. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, until he reached فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears Allah and believe in al-husna, which is tawheed and righteousness, we will make smooth for him the path of ease, of goodness. And therefore, if the person, the believer, sees that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made easy for him to do righteous deeds and guided him to that and made it easy for him, then he should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah, for this grace, and that it had been made easy for him. And in the hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. Verily these are your deeds which I record for you and count them for you. ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا. Then I will recompense you for them, for it. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Then whoever finds good, then let him praise Allah. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And whoever finds otherwise, فَلَا يُلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Then he shouldn't blame except himself. And this came in one hadith in Sahih Muslim. And if the person finds from himself that doing the righteous deed is heavy upon him, and he finds that his self is easily led to the bad deed, then let him return to Allah in repentance and should fear the state he is upon. And from the benefits, if the person conveys what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave from the Sharia and from the call to him, he conveys to Allah, he proclaims the da'wah to Allah and calls people to it, then nothing of the misguidance of the misguided will affect him. Rather, it will be upon the misguided. قال الله تعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah said to his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in Surah Al-Qasas, إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت. Verily you Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills, and He knows best those who are the guided. And in Surah Ash-Shura in 42-48, Allah says, إن عليك إلا البلاغ. إن عليك إلا البلاغ. Your duty is to proclaim. That's what's upon you. Your duty is to convey. Now we move to the next verse, inshallah. And this is verse 120. قال الله تعالى وَلَنْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Never will the Jews nor the Christians be pleased with you, O Muhammad, never, till you follow their religion. Say, verily the guidance of Allah, meaning Tawheed, that is the only guidance. And if you, Muhammad, were to follow their, meaning the Jews and the Christian desires, after what you have received of knowledge, the Quran, then you would have against Allah neither a protector or guardian nor any helper to you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that وَلَنْ never will the Jews and the Christians be pleased with you, O Muhammad. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam liked to incline the hearts of the Jews and the Christians to Islam. And those whom he liked to have them inclined to that, also liked that they be pleased with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بَيَّنْ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ الْيَهُودِ made it clear that these Jews and the Christians قَوْمٌ ذُو عِنَادٍ are people of stubbornness and disdainfulness and rejection. Obstinate. They will never be pleased with you no matter what you do to incline them. They will never do so until you follow their religion. In the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ used to like to be in agreement with the people of the book in that which he was not prohibited from. Then afterwards, ثم بعد ذلك كان يأمر بمخالفتهم. Then afterwards, he صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded to oppose them. So the Jews حتى تتبع ملتهم until you follow their religion. The Jews لن يرضوا عنك will never be pleased with you حتى تكون يهودية until you become a Jew. And والنصارى and the Christians لن ترضى عنك will never be pleased with you until you become a Christian. However, the only response to all of them is to say قل in response to them إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى verily the guidance of Allah is the only guidance. It is not لَيْسَ الْهُدَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ it is not the guidance that you are on, rather the guidance of Allah is the only guidance. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ and if you were to follow their desires, this address is to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَوْ لِكُلِّ مَنْ يَتَأَتَّى خِطَابُهُ or to everyone fit to be addressed, but الأقرب أنه للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, the closest however is that it is an address to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then you will have no protector or helper after you have received of knowledge. ما لك من الله من ولي. الولي is the one who takes care and preserves and protects others. No one is to protect you and preserve you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And من ولي ولا نصير. النصير is the one who shuns off evil. And no one will be in your help to repel evil from you except Allah Azza wa Jal. The points of benefit in this important verse, making clear the haughtiness of the Jews and the Christians, such that they are not pleased with anyone except those who follow their religions. And from the benefits, the second benefit, the one who is not pleased except in that, then he will try and have attempts to make others other than the Jews enter into Judaism and make others enter into Christianity if he is a Christian. And therefore this entails to be careful concerning the Jews and the Christians, that they are not going to be pleased until a person becomes a Jew or a Christian. And from this point, number 4, أَنَّ الْكُفْرَ مِلَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, that kufr, disbelief, is one religion. Why? Because Allah said, مِلَّتَهُمْ, their religion. And since their religion is in opposition to Islam, then it is one. بِاعْتِبَارِ مُضَادَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ, in the sense that it is an opposition to Islam, then they are on one millah, one religion. However, if you look at it from the angle of its types, then we have milal, we have religions. Judaism is a religion, Christianity is one, Buddhism is one, and the rest. However, if you take all of them in the sense that they are opposing to Islam, then they are considered one millah, one deen, one religion. Because kufr, disbelief, is their description. And therefore, kufr will be the kind common to them all. Although the religions are different. But in terms of kufr, of disbelief, opposing Islam, they are one. And that's why it is said, Al-kufru millatun wahida. Disbelief is one religion. Disbelief in one religion, in the sense that it is opposing Islam. And number 5, response to the disbelievers. Hudallah huwa al-huda. The guidance of Allah is the only guidance. It means, in kana ma'akum hudallah, if the guidance of Allah is with you, then you are guided. Otherwise, you are misled. The 6th point of benefit, anna ma'ada hudallah dalal. Whatever is anything other than the guidance of Allah is misguidance. قال الله تعالى in Surah Yunus in 10:32, فماذا بعد الحق إلا الضلال فأنا تصرفون. So after the truth, what else can there be save error? How then are you turned away? So anything which is not in agreement with the guidance of Allah, then it is misguidance. And there is no in between the two, between the guidance and between misguidance. There is no in between. The 7th, أن البدع ضلالة, that innovation in religion is misguidance. Why? Because Allah said, قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. Verily, the guidance of Allah is the only guidance. And because the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, every innovated matter in religion is misguidance. The 8th point of benefit, تحريم اتباع أهواء اليهود والنصارى, forbiddance to follow the desires of the Jews and the Christians. Because Allah made it clear, وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, and if you were to follow their misguidance after knowledge had come to you, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ, you will have no protection from Allah nor help. 9, and this is very critical, very important, أنما عليه اليهود والنصارى ليس دينا حقا, whatever the Jews and the Christians are upon is not the true deen. Rather is hawa, is misguidance. Why? Because Allah said ahwa'ahum, their desires. And He didn't say millatahum as in the first place when He said millatahum. He didn't say their religion as He said it earlier. In the beginning He said وَلَمْ تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَمْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Jews and the Christians will not be pleased with you, O Muhammad, until you follow their millah, their religion. Why? Because they believe that they are on a religion and a deen. Lakin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however Allah, made it clear that this is not a deen, not a millah, when He said بَلْ هَوَى أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, their desires. And that they are not on guidance. Because if they were on guidance, then it would be incumbent upon the Jews to believe in Jesus alayhi salam. And this is sufficient on its own to make them kafirs. Because anyone who denies and rejects one single messenger, then himself is a kafir, even if he says a Muslim. So how about if he's a Jew denying Jesus alayhi salam? We know that the people of Noah had only one messenger, and he was Noah alayhi salam. But what Allah said when they rejected him? كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Noah belied the messengers with an S. Let our brothers think and our sisters think about this important matter. They belied one single messenger, who? Noah. And there was no Jesus, no Muhammad, no nothing at his time from the messengers. But Allah considered them kafirs because they belied one single messenger. And the Jews belied not only Jesus, as you know. If they were on true guidance, they should have believed in Jesus alayhi salam. And both the Jews and the Christians must believe in Muhammad as well. However, their religion is desire, not guidance. And thus everyone who follows anything other than that brought by the messenger and holds to it, then his religion is misguidance and desires. False. And I want to emphasize this point, because there are amongst the Muslims who are confused, it is amazing, who are confused concerning the disbelief of the Jews and the disbelief of the Christians. They are deluded by saying that, well, the Jews say we believe in God. Who is this God they believe in Him? If they believe in Allah, then they must believe in everything which Allah commands. And if they believe in Allah, then Allah's attributes are perfect. But what they attributed to Allah is imperfect. They said Allah is faqir, poor. And they made istihza, mockery of Allah. This whole chapter is almost about them and of their kufr. And it's amazing how some still have even doubt about this. And I have been told today that in some rooms there are people who are advocating that the Christians are pagans. But when they were asked about by someone, when they were asked about the Jews, they said the Jews are believers. They refused to explicitly deny that the Jews are non-believers. This is either confusion or ignorance, or I don't know what it is. Point number 10. Anyone who follows desires after knowledge, then he is in the worst type of misguidance. 11th point. That whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, whether it is the Quran or the authentic Sunnah, then it is knowledge. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered. Ummi. He neither wrote nor he read. He wasn't qualified with either one. Illiterate. As Allah spoke about him in Surah Al-Ankabut 29:48. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ. Look at this. It's amazing. I would like, inshallah, everyone in this room to read this verse carefully, the translation of the meaning. Neither did you, O Muhammad, read any book before it, this Quran, nor did you write any book, because he was unlettered, with your right hand. In that case, look, in that case, if you knew how to read and to write, in that case, indeed, the followers of falsehood might have doubted. Meaning, they might have doubted that you took it from someone before you. Allahu Akbar. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down this Quran upon him so that he became a prophet who brought the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. And from this we know that whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends bad for him, then no one can repel it. Because Allah said here, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. You will have no protector and no help from Allah. And from this therefore we know, if you follow a sharia other than the sharia of Allah, the way of Allah and His revelation, فَلَا أَحَدْ يَحْفَظْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. There is none to protect you from Allah, and no one to give you help and support. Even if you will have so many soldiers and armies and police and you name it, and if you would increase in strength, because help and protection can only be attained through guidance, following the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is which will bring security to the person and to the ummah, when they are on true guidance of tawheed. This is the means of security which people overlook. Listen to what Allah says in 6:82. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. It is those who believe in tawheed and confuse not their belief with shirk and wrongdoing, for them only there is security and they are the guided. So الأمن إنما يكون بالإيمان وعدم الظلم. Security is only attained through faith in tawheed, tawheed of Allah, and no shirk. And from the benefits is that the hearts must be clinging to Allah out of love, hope and fear. Since when you know that there is you will have no helper, no protector, then you cling only to Allah. So, O Muslim, have your heart attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And from the benefits, that punishment befalls the slave after having knowledge. وَأَمَّا الْجَاهِلُ فَلَا عُقُوبَةَ لَهُ. However, the ignorant, there is no punishment upon him. Because Allah said in this verse, and if you were to follow them after knowledge, after you gained knowledge. And this fundamental matter is supported by many other verses. Listen to what Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:286. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error. Allah said in response, قَدْ فَعَلْتَ. So Allah responded that He will not punish if we forget or fall into it. I have done. And again, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:5, evidence for this fundamental matter. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَكِمْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. And there is no sin on you if you make a mistake therein, except in regard to what your hearts deliberately intend. Deliberately intend. And in Surah Al-Qasas 28:59, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا وَمَا كُنَّا مُهْلِكِ الْقُرَىٰ إِلَّا وَأَهْلُهَا ظَالِمُونَ. And many other verses like this. There is no punishment except after knowledge. And never will your Lord destroy the towns until He sends to their mother town a messenger reciting to them our verses. And never would we destroy the towns unless the people thereof are politicians, wrongdoers, sinners, oppressors, tyrants. And many other verses like this. And from the benefits is that no one can prevent what Allah intends. In the authentic hadith regarding the remembrances we do after the salah, we do the following dua: Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt. O Allah, no one can prevent what you give. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتْ. And no one can provide and give what you withhold. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. And no benefit with Allah, the one of richness, or the rich, or the lucky, will not benefit him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is encompassing everything and able to do everything. This brings the end of this verse. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. And may Allah the Most High bestow on our Shaykh from His mercy and forgive him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this knowledge he left to count on his scale as benefits for him. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.